Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, glad you're sitting by me. Amen. Hey, you know what? Tomorrow was the day. Mother's Day was the one that I was telling y'all about. I always had to go to Mother's Day for Mama to get the gift for the most kids there. And, man, if I miss one time, that was it for me. Because, I mean, Thanksgiving was thin that next year or that year. But I'd always show up, and then Mama would get that gift and those flowers. And then, you know, I thought I'd done my duty. And so I didn't come back till Christmas, because then they weren't going to preach nothing on Christmas either. And then I'd come back on Easter, because they was just all looking for the egg. And but I was grinning coming up here. It was like Mama would be, I'd probably be in a bar right now, but Mama would be going, he better show up. He just better show up. Back in those days, we were taught a little different about our parents, and it was like even in the nightclub, it'd be like, man, it's 2 o'clock, lights are coming on. Yeah, well, what are you gonna do tomorrow? Going to church. Why? I got to give my mother a gift. Buy her one. No, it's not quite the same. You got to show up for this one. Amen. So look at your neighbor and say, let's have church. Now, I won't go into things right now, but I'm going to tell you what, it's been a whacked out week for me. And started on the way home, and it didn't end till Wednesday. And so I got to, here's the way I've always been. If you hit me and I didn't see it coming, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. And I'm 72 years old. My brain still don't realize that. It wasn't too many years ago, an individual did something that I thought was derogatory towards my wife. I'm redneck. And I have guns. I'm not a member of the NPR or whatever. I think I own too many. I mean, excuse me, I'm an ex-convict. My wife has a lot of guns. My wife owns a whole bunch of guns. And, hey, man, they want to get in trouble right there, you know. And but I told this old boy, I said, let me tell you something, man. The worst thing you could ever do is think that you can look at my wife. He goes, she don't have a ring. I said, she don't need one. She got me. And rings can come on and off. I always look for them rings in the nightclub. If it had that little white spot there, it was like, this is a one-night stand. And I said, but this ring right here, I will ring your bell. And so when the enemy hits at you, you got to be ready to, if it's a sly attack, you got to be ready to fight back, and don't just take it on the chin. You got to be ready to deal a greater force back. Can you say amen? And so tonight I want to read a few scriptures. Thank you, Pastor, for having me back. And I had noticed this week that I had preached a couple of Mother's Days up here, and so thank the Lord I've already done that, because tomorrow won't be that much different. A lot of times when I preach these quote special services, I'm just not a good, you know, political preacher, and I mess people up. Like one year up there in Ohio, there was 900 something people showed up on Easter. They were them. Oh, I'm up in the north. No, I'm not in the north yet. And they were all expecting to be an Easter message, and I preached on hell. And the preacher told me, you're the first person I've ever heard preach on hell on Easter. I said, well, they believe on Easter, they come. They just don't believe on hell. That's the reason they don't come back the next week. And we prayed through about 40-something people that day. And including the preacher's daughter. I want to read from the book of Numbers, and we're going to be, if this is your first time in this church, would you raise your hands if it's the first time? Good to have you, man. Good to have you. Now, I'm a little different preacher, so I'm not like any of them TV preachers. Although I'd love to have a jet, I just sell it. You know what I'm saying? It'd be on eBay to buy tomorrow. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, I'm going to preach on something that's we've all heard, but maybe something a little bit different here. Numbers 13. This is about the spies. And the Bible says in verse 23, now these are the spies. They came into the brook of Kirith and cut down from hence a branch with one, everybody say one cluster of grapes, just one. And they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And they had been at this brook called Ishcol, and because of the cluster of the grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land for 40 days. So they had been in this land for 40 days. And now they're returning. And their report was, you know it, but let me read it. They brought back word unto them, talking about the nation and to Moses, and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. They showed them the fruit of the land. And they said, we came into the land where thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. You may be seated. This is the fruit of it. They showed them the fruit. Man, I've never seen a cluster of grapes that took two people to carry. I don't know how. I don't even know if that had ever even been attempted. You know, you'd have to juice it with something. I don't know what you'd do. But they came to this, the 40 spies, or the 12 spies, came to this place in Canaan. So the 12 spies are in Canaan. So we know that in Canaan, the promise was this representation of how good things were. And so when they came upon these grapes and these figs and pomegranates, that visual was so strong to them that instead of, this is sounded kind of strange to me, instead they were so overwhelmed, they said, we need to take this back and show everybody. We need to tell everybody what we've seen. I mean, maybe not just tell them. We need to, because they ain't going to believe what we've seen in our promise. And so they cut it down, and then they gathered these figs and pomegranates. And when they came to the leadership, now remember, these 12 spies were actually 12 leaders, the head of, and so when they came back and they showed it to them, meaning their subordinates and then the congregation, they showed them the proof. Everybody say the proof. I like proof of something. I always like proof. I went home, and was it last week I talked about Bluebell, or maybe it was the next week or something? My wife, I went home, and I do love Bluebell. I mean, the doctor told me to not eat it, but my Lord, by the time they showed me the list, I'd have been a vegetarian. I'm not going to heaven as a vegetarian. And they told me, don't eat this, don't eat this, don't eat this, don't eat this, cut back on this, don't eat this. And then they got this little bitty list over here. They got three pages over here, and they go, here's the list. I said, what is that? She goes, well, now you can eat as much of that as you want. And I said, well, that's lettuce. Well, don't even let me have no dressing on it, you know. I always ask them waitresses at the restaurant, do you have, what they call that, diet-free? No, the ranch dressing. Low-fat. Do you have any low-fat dressing for ranch? And they'll go, yeah. And I go, well, I don't want that. I put the real stuff. And then when I get my baked potato, they'll say, do you want loaded? And I'll go, no, I'm on a diet. Just triple the butter. Because then I can tell my wife I didn't get all that thing loaded. And but I do like the butter when you get through with the baked potato, you can sip, sup with me. Take your biscuit, in other words, and y'all don't know what supping is. Never mind. And but my wife told me, I said, man, I had some pretty bad days anyway. And finally, when I got a little bit different, I said, man, I've just about slap an elephant for some bluebell. And she said, well, I've got some ice cream. Man, my eyes, I said, well, God, hallelujah. And she goes, but it's not bluebell. And I was like, oh. She said, but my brother said it was just as good. Now, you got to understand, her brother weighs about 300 pounds. So I'm thinking, well, he might know something that I don't know. And so I said, okay. Well, she said, you want me to get you some? I said, no, I'll get it. Because my wife will just get you a little bitty thing, you know. And so I went in there, and I always put it in the microwave for about 15 seconds, kind of loosen it up. And when I did, I got back in there, I noticed that this ice cream was really white. It was just like snow white. So I thought that was odd to begin with. Something's missing. You know what I mean? There ain't no just pure white. Nothing. Except snow. You know, all y'all think y'all white. You ain't white. And so then when I put that ladle in there to get some out, it didn't want to come out. It's kind of all just sticking together. And I tried to scoop it and do what I do with bluebell. And it was just in total rebellion, and then a big wide thing came out, and I thought, well, maybe the Lord's trying to bless me. So I put that over in there, and then I put chocolate syrup on it, and when I sat down to eat it, I thought something happened to my taste buds in the last few days, because something ain't tasting right. And after about three scoops or three dips, my wife walked in there and she said, what do you think? And I said, this is gross. And she said, well, Jason said it was good. And I said, Jason's a stinking idiot. I said, this is nasty. And I don't even know, when I try to mix it up and mix the syrup up to make chocolate ice cream, it wouldn't even do that. It would just say no. And it looked like a swirl or something in there, you know. And I was squeezing on it and pushing. And finally, my wife, I said, I don't know what is this. She said, well, let me read it again. And she said, oh, I didn't have my glasses when I bought it. This says low sugar, low all this. Everything was low. In other words, it wasn't a real cow. And I told her, I said, well, don't ever buy it again. In other words, it was proof that this is bad. And all my grandkids are going to get to taste and see. I don't throw stuff away. I just give it to the mutts. And they don't know what good is. It's just like, hey, you get some ice cream, Bear's going to give you ice cream. You can eat all that. What strikes me is that these people went into the promise, they see the abundance of the promise, they realize the abundance, they taste the abundance, and then they bring proof of the abundance back to the congregation. And then tell the congregation, hey, everything we were told is true, but not only is it true, here's what we brought to make sure you know it's true. That turns out to be a real good, powerful story to me. But you know how they went, but nevertheless, the people that are dwelling in there are strong. See, what this shows me was that the spies, 10 of them, wanted a lot of blessings for nothing. I kind of got quiet. In other words, we like the grapes. We like the pomegranates. We like the figs. But we thought we were just going to be able to go in and it's going to be a free will offering. Because God said it was ours, we didn't think anything about any problems in there. It was just going to be, oh, so peaceful and oh, so nice. And we're going to live to tell the generations how that we walked into the promise and we had all the honey and had all the milk and had all the fruit and we just had it easy. We had spiritual welfare because of who we are. And that 10 of them are going, so that's not true because there's some opposition in there. And the problem that they begin to say is this, the opposition that we see, which they never talk to, I'm going to preach just a little while tonight, so stay with me. They never ask anybody any questions. They just assumed that they were weaker than their opposition without sizing up their opposition. In other words, they didn't ask a giant, how many of you are they? Hell, they didn't ask anybody behind those walls, how big is your army? In other words, let me show you the proof of the promise, but then I want to make up a story that's an absolute lie, and I hope you believe the lie, because if you do believe the promise, I got to go in and fight, and I'm not a fighter, I'm just a leader. Oh, my God, help me. I'm going to try to dig it up a little bit tonight. I don't want to fight for the church. I'm just a Sunday school teacher. I don't want to fight for the church and the promise. I'm just in the music team. I don't want to fight for anything. I just want to come to church and have good church and then go home. But if we're going to have to fight something, no, if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be somebody in this church, all of us are going to have to be prepared not to just to go in and see how good it is. We're going to have to go in and say, hey, that's mine and I'm going to take part of it. Somebody holler amen. And so there was 10, stay with me just a few more minutes. There were 10 men, and you know it, so I'm really wanting to hit this one spot. There's 10 men that have literally shown them the proof and then decided, why in the world did they even bring it back? Why didn't they just say, no, he's an absolute liar? The reason they had to bring it back, because there's two of them over here saying, I'm going to tell you something right now. We're bringing this back. In other words, I'm going to tell you something right now. We believe there's revival. Y'all might not believe it, but we believe it. Y'all might not think it's possible, but we think it's possible. And not only do we think it's possible, we think the congregation ought to know what the possibilities are also. Congregation, we need to understand the possibilities of a long revival with a long history. I'm talking about a 50-year revival. Somebody holler amen. You may be seated. And so the 10 are going now. If we can get them to not believe what they see. Hello? Look what America just did. I got to say it. Everybody was like on one side of the aisle, so to speak. Nothing's wrong with Biden. Sorry, it's that way. And the media is like, y'all didn't see that. There's nothing wrong with him. His cognitive, he can pass any test. We've got a lady down there in Texas named Crockett. She needs to change her name. Davy Crockett was a good guy. And she was saying, well, he was smart. Yeah, when he was 25. See what I'm saying? And everybody's going, well, don't believe what you see. Believe what we tell you. Oh, can I preach just a little bit? I'm not going to get into politics. All y'all know that's my candy stick, economics, politics, and all that. I got a degree from Huntsville State Penitentiary. And so don't believe what you see. Believe what we tell you. And America was like, yeah, he's good. He walked off the stage by himself. But he's got the red button somewhere. The good thing about Biden, he didn't know where. It was just somewhere, you know what I mean? Oh, Lord, help me. Believe, now they're telling us, after China sat down, exactly what the last Trump said, Trump said, that China would come to the table. They're at the table right now, y'all. The media was going, no, ain't never going to happen, ain't never going to happen. And now they're sitting him down and they're going, well, the price of eggs did go down, but he said on day one. Do you see what I'm saying here? In other words, don't believe what y'all see. Now, has y'all's gasoline gone down up here? Ours is cheap in Texas. We can't even make no money off of it. We're having to run it into Louisiana. Has y'all's gone down? Are y'all's chicken laying any eggs? You say yes or no. This is not Catholic. Huh? Bluebell went from $10 to $4.99. That's all I know. Hello? I'm back in the saddle. I ain't doing 10, but I'll do $4.99 for a few days. But it's going to go down. See, people don't want to believe what you see. They just want you to believe what they tell you. And the 10 spies were saying, don't believe what you see. Believe what we tell you. Because we want to control you, and we want to control your destiny. There's always people that don't understand revival want to tell us that are in revival that we're not in revival, because revival's not real. But we know revival is real, because revival has been here since the book of Acts. Don't believe what they tell you. Believe what you see. Look at your neighbor and say, amen. Yeah. Believe what you see. And so they convinced a congregation to leave the visual, the proof. Leave the proof and wander for 40 years. Still the people of God, but now they're just wandering in a circle. When they could have been landowners, now they're tent dwellers. Some people are willing to dwell in a tent when they could own a house. Are you hearing me? Some people are willing to say we're apostolic when they could be seeing signs, wonders, and miracles. Some people don't like or don't mind the title. They just don't want anybody to have to fight to get it. If you're going to be a true apostolic, miracle, signs, wonder church, you're going to have to put your fist up in the air and say, I will not go that way. I will not believe that. I have seen the proof, and I'm going to where the proof is. Somebody clap your hands and say amen. Now I'm trying to be nice, but I'm saying it plain. Here's another thing that blows my mind. These people that decided to go out and wander start dropping dead. So young people, I'm talking to y'all. Here's what they did. There was 81,575 people per year died. The first year, 81,775 or 575 people died. That's 6,797 per month, or 226 people a day dying in your tribe, your friends. There's 226 a day. In other words, you get up today, and y'all have walked about a mile or mile and a half, made another tent, and you wake up and you say, "Hey, where's Julio?" And they go, "Oh, he died." "Oh, he did." The next day you wake up and say, "Well, where's Juan, his brother?" "Oh, he died." "Oh, he did. How come ain't no young people dying?" Dying 226 a day. 20 years old and down, zero. In other words, God was saying to the young generation, "I'm going to wipe out the generation that caused y'all to wander." I'm going to preach tonight. That's why, church, you better be real careful about who talks in your ear, because if y'all cause this generation to leave here and start wandering and become some charismatic mess, guess who's going to die? They're going to die, but you're going to die. You can't say that. Uh-uh. Revival's got to happen in this church, and we've got to have an older generation that says, "Young generation, don't listen to that. Watch me. Don't listen to that. Watch what I do." So young people are seeing funerals everywhere. Can you imagine what the young people were doing when they would get together and somebody say, "Hey, there's some people in my, we're having a funeral over there today. I got to go over there." "Well, we're having a funeral." Well, y'all having a funeral?" "Yeah, well, that's, we're having two." "Well, guess what? That's almost two per tribe per day. Two per tribe per day. In other words, we can't even pick our tents up and move without having a funeral. Every day, we got to say, hold on just a minute. We could be further along wandering, but we got to stop because we got to have two funerals per tribe per day. Well, who's dying? It's just all the people that, I mean, it's my older folks and my grandpas and my uncles. Now it's down to, and pretty soon those kids are growing up, and they're still going, "Hey, we could move a little bit today, but we got to wait because somebody's dying." Now the youth are growing up saying, "Why in the world are we wandering around a mountain? We done been around in a circle for 40 years. I done seen this place once." Hello? Can I preach this a little bit? "Why in the world are we wandering? Haven't we been by this side of this mountain before?" And another young person now that was 10 when it started, and now he's 18, he's going, "Yeah, we have. We've been by it 8 years. I've seen it 8 times. Well, why are we doing this? It sounds like we're just walking in a circle. Well, it seems like we're walking in a circle because our parents. Well, what's wrong with the parents? They listen to 10 spies. Now, you answer this. How did 10 men convince 3,253 people, by one estimation? How in the world did 10 men talk to 3 million people without a microphone? Huh? Oh, Lord, it's been getting tight. It's called gossip. Woo! It's called word of mouth by those that want to be correct. It's that stuff like, "Hey, did you hear?" Now, I'm not gossiping. I'm not gossiping. I'm not gossiping. But did you hear that there's some giants in there? Can you imagine? Isn't there, there's a game, I can't remember the name of it, but you put about 15 or 20 people in a row and set them down, and you tell the first dude something, and then he repeats it and repeats it. Have y'all ever played that? By the time you get to the end, there is an absolutely no, it's like, where did in the world did y'all get that? I have never heard any team over 15, I've heard a team of five get it correct, but when it gets to the 15th person, it's like, what? Because they'll stand up and say, well, what was it told to you? And they'll tell you, and you'll have it written down, and it's like, and we all laugh at it like, oh my God, that's so crazy. The dress was not, they wasn't a dress. It said, have you got an address and can you read it? And the thing would say her dress was red. Have y'all ever heard that? Can you imagine the report getting through 3 million people? The tribes going in there. Hey, honey. Did you hear what one of our leaders said? One of our leaders reported that the mama was like, what? Oh, no, I wouldn't never let my kids get involved in that. Oh, Lord, I'm so glad you stood up to that. Oh, my. I mean, my babies get raised into having to fight for something. I said, I mean, my Lord, a corn ain't that good. I mean, come on. I mean, we can get... Our shoes won't wear out, and you know, we get this manna stuff, and you know, and pretty soon the kids are looking around like, well, wait a minute, we've passed this thing over and over and over and over and over. Now, how come ain't none of us dying, but all the people that caused us to walk in a circle are dying? And now the young people are saying, well, why are we out here? Now they're 20 years old, sister. They're 20. They've been wandering 20 years. Some of them babies, little babies, been wandering 20 years. Watch their mama. They got up and their mama died. 20 years. And now they're like, well, why am I wandering? I don't have nothing to do with it. And pretty soon, young people, the word got around. The reason we're out here is because one day, 10, quote, spies, 12 spies, excuse me, because see, I can't figure out, well, let me say it. Apparently, Jacob and Caleb didn't stay quiet to the young people. Apparently, they continued to say, we could have done it. Your parents could have done it. I'm sorry we're burying them today, but we could have done it. Well, why are we burying them? Because they turned back and God told me they're all going to die. Everybody? Everybody. And so the 20-year-old down was watching the judgments instead of the promise. And they were believing now in the judging God instead of the loving God. They could have been believing in the loving God. But see, you ain't never going to be really committed until you're scared of that judging God. See, right now, you talk to Brother Poe, I'm a little bit afraid of God throwing a little judgment on my way. I don't want nothing to do with his judgment. See, every promise in the book is mine is a song they used to sing. I don't like that song because half of those things are judgments. I don't sing that song. I don't need every promise. I don't need judgment. I want to be on that side that says I might have to fight a little bit, but guess what? I'm going in to get what's mine because mine was promised by God. And if God promised me this, then I'm going to get that. And if God said I was going to have that, I'm going to get this. Yes, sir. I don't care how much I got to fight. It's how much do I need and how much do I want. I'm not going to listen to somebody tell me I can't possess it when my God's already told me it's mine. I just got to go get it. You could be seated. It's very strange to me that people are trying to convince you that a victory is impossible when you're looking at victory. You'll have those people that get delivered. So I'm talking to all y'all. Lauren, all of y'all, they'll come up to you and go, Did you really get delivered? They're just waiting on a, here's what they're waiting on. Well, that's all they need. Just, well, because they're ready for that. It's like, well, I'm same thing. I mean, I've stayed delivered for a couple of days. I don't really know if you're delivered or delivered, but for a couple of days, you just feel like you're delivered. And then I understand that. But, you know, the next time somebody says anything, just go ahead and wander around the mountain with me. Yeah, I raise my hand like I'm delivered, but me and you both know we're not delivered. So let's just be in the tribe that dies wandering around a mountain when the promises are 3 days away. Yeah, that's always going to happen. And so the young people, watch this. The young people grew up looking at moms and dads saying, you're the cause, I'm backslid. I could have been over there. My daughter, she goes to church, but she ain't in there. She's going to get in there. I already know that. She knows that. She just married a dude that's Catholic, and he ain't even a practicing Catholic. I don't know why they claim it. Well, I do too, because there's some of those Pentecostals that do the same thing. But see, he started paying his tithes to the church, the real church, the other day. And Emily called me. She said, Daddy, Nick started paying his tithes. I said, that ain't no big deal. She said, to the Pentecostal church here, Brother Hughes's. I said, that's a big deal. I said, are you sure? She said, I am. He come in and said, you know, I think I need to start paying the tithes, and I think it needs to go to a Pentecostal church. And I said, well, all right then. One of these days, old Nicky. Nicky, don't lose my number. You can call me anytime. And Nick's going to walk down that aisle, and he's going to say, you know what? My Pope was wrong. Now, hold on just a minute. Let me share with y'all something that just happened. That Pope peeled out and died. They put another one in. Guess what the Google read? The Google thing I read every day says, the new Pope, direct successor, watch this, direct successor from St. Peter. I started laughing. I was like, no, but yes. St. Peter was the first Pope. I mean, y'all don't want to call him Pope. I understand that. I understand because y'all think the word Pope is bad. Well, my wife was a Pope. And then I just helped her out and made her drop a P, move the E over, and she's a Pope now. But the word Pope ain't bad. See, Simon Peter was the first Pope. You'd have to understand the history of the church. But the problem is they believe he was the first Pope after the 325 Council of Nicene, which means that he was the first Pope of the Trinitarian. No, he was the first Pope that said, be baptized in the... In fact, I think he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. I just wish the Catholic Church would do what their first Pope see. They, are you hearing me? They got fruit. They understand what fruit is. But we've got to say, no, I'm not going to go down that way. I'm going to go down this way. Why? Because the fruit is proof to me that what I'm doing is correct. And if I'm not, I'm not going to just look for an excuse out. You could be seated. I'm closing. So it's very simple that the 20-year-old Dan got to listen to Caleb's, Joshua's story. And the other ones that was judged by God, and what it's, you can read it in the Bible, it's written, and they all gonna die. Didn't even believe they were going to die. But here's what was happening. God was raising up a new church. Oh, I got to help you right here. Can I help y'all a little bit? Type and shadow. The Jews rejected him, but the Gentiles accepted him. In other words, that first batch, it wouldn't go into the promise. That second batch did. We're the Gentiles. Let's go into the promise. Let's go into that promise. We're that second batch that says, wait just a minute. We might have been wandering out there for a long time because we're Gentiles, but now that we're in, I'm going in that promise, and I'm taking that mountain, and I'm going to get my house, and I'm going to get my corn, and I'm going to get my fruit, and I'm going to get everything the Lord told me. Can somebody give him a praise right now?
Praise your name.
You could be seated. We are in Springfield. We're having to understand that there are those that just don't really, I'm going to go in there anyway, just really don't. I don't want to even use Springfield. Let me just put in our ranks, in our movement, there are those that just don't want spirituality. Now, here's why, and I'm going to hurry and close. It's because spirituality exposes rotten fruit. Yeah. See, if you're not spiritual, you won't turn the fruit over to see what's on the box. It's like, has any of y'all ever got home and you had an apple or whatever and turned it over, or tomato, and oh my God, why in the world didn't I flip that over? I was just so used to it. In fact, my wife, she's one of them people that don't handle the fruit. We're going to wash it, aren't we? I'm going to look at it. I ain't just going to pick up a batch of grapes. Listen to me. I don't care what y'all do. I'm not buying them dead grapes. I'm plucking them suckers off. I ain't picking them up. I ain't going to eat them. Why am I going to take them home? You know what I mean? Y'all need to learn how to shop. You get more for your money. I mean, while y'all's inflation was going up, it's because y'all's eating bad grapes that you bought. Pose wasn't. People look at me so funny. I'm over there going, I ain't doing that. People are like, oh, my God. My wife jumped on me. She said, Gordon, you can't do that. And I said, well, I guess I can. She goes, you can't do that. That's not right. My wife thinks everything, you know, I do just about send me to hell. She said, yeah, that's not right. I said, what's not right about it? Even my sister-in-law. So that's not right. Me and my brother had a council. Y'all have to be part of my family to know what I'm talking about. Me and my brother, we act like lawyers, and we'll call a council. In other words, we called a council. I said, okay, call them in, let's go. So me and Kelly sitting there, and Leslie and Sherry sitting there, because I wanted to pluck bad grapes off. They say it's wrong. I say it's right. My brother said, I believe it's right. I said, let's prove them wrong. And so we called the girls in, set them down. And I said, okay. She said, and Leslie started it. You know, she knew me when I was in the 70s, so I got to be real careful with her. I mean, she knows a lot that my wife, I just don't prefer for my wife to know, you know what I mean? Maybe Jesus will tell her, I don't care, when we get up there, where's she going, you know what I mean? And it's like, oh no, I didn't know that about him. Okay, send me to hell. And so I said, Leslie said, Gordon, did you or did you not pull grapes off of a cluster? And I said, I did. And she said, all right. Were they good or bad? And I said, they were rotten. And Sherry said, okay, so you admit it, sir. And I said, I do. And Sherry said, and what does it say? How many grapes you buy it by the what? And I said, the pound. She said, and how much were the grapes a pound? And back in those days, I said, I think they were like 69 cents. And she said, so do you or do you not owe the store, or did you steal? And I said, I don't owe the store, and I didn't steal nothing. And Leslie says, point of order. She don't even know what that means. And so I said, I'd like to reply, sir. And my brother said, go ahead. And I said, Leslie, Sherry, have y'all ever picked up a cluster of bananas and took some off? All the women are laughing. It's like, I only need three. There's eight here. These are rotten. These will rot before I use them, so I just need three. Well, both my wife and my sister-in-law just stopped and looked at me. And I said, because you're afraid that they will rot before you use them, and you don't, quote, want to pay for something you don't need. Is that true or not? Well, both of them started looking down. I said, ma'am, but hold your attention. I said, Your Honor. And so both of them had to admit, you know, yeah, we do it. I said, case closed. Case closed. Next time we went to the store, I looked at my wife, and I picked up them green grapes, and I looked at her, and I said, watch this. I said, are you going to go down to the bananas? These weren't rotten grapes. These were grapes of promise. In other words, them spies wasn't going to bring back something that would destroy the promise that God had said. They weren't going to bring back grapes that had bad spots. What they were doing, they were bringing back premium grapes, figs, and pomegranates. And I can't understand how you can bring back this great revelation and this great report and this great visual, but then to try to make the congregation go the other way. Let me tell you where Brother Poe stands. If anybody wants to go that way, I'm tired of wandering. I've seen the grapes. I've seen the revivals in the 90s. I've seen the revivals in the early 2000s. I understand there's a lot of people that don't want that kind of revival anymore. But I'm saying, hey, young people, I've tasted it. I've seen it. I've seen dead people get up out of the foyer. I've seen people out of a wheelchair just get up and take off running. I've seen blind eyes open. I'm not willing to go that way and wander. I'm saying in Springfield, we've got to be the experience where a visitor comes in and says, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I am feeling it. Come on, give him a little praise right now. I don't know what this is, but I know I'm feeling something. Look at your neighbor and say amen. You can be seated. So, in closing, we have to get together. Now, my brothers, well, I guess just about everybody nearly, is trying to get me to slow down. And they keep talking about, oh, thank all y'all for those birthday cards and all that. That was sweet. In fact, I don't even think about my birthday. This is the first year I really realized. One time I was preaching on my birthday, and I told the congregation, I said, on May the 30th, I turned, and the pastor said, today's May the 30th. I said, oh, it is? Okay. But they're telling me you need to slow down. You need to do this. Brother Arnold called me and he said, where are you from? I said, Springfield, Missouri. He said, are you flying back and forth? I said, no, I'm driving. He said, oh, no. No, you're too old for that. I said, I'm not too old for that. He said, oh, yeah, you are, Gordon. I said, I already been doing it for 4 weeks. He said, what? I said, I've already been doing it, Jeff, for 4 weeks. I'm not too old for it. If I was too old for it, I'd be in Little Rock saying I can't make it. I said, I'm not too old for it. He said, well, you need to kind of slow your jets down. I said, the problem with y'all think I'm on jet fuel. I've been on nuclear fuel since I started LSD. See, if we slow down, guess who dies? If we slow down, there ain't going to be no youth choir. If we slow down, there ain't going to be no kids in Sunday school. If we slow down, there won't be a youth department. If we slow down, there won't be no musicians take over. Come on, Springfield. This is called the experience. Then let's make it an experience that everybody remembers. Clap your hands and magnify. Praise your name, Jesus. Be seated. Let me close. So I'm calling us together. Elders, now I understand. I'm bummed up too. The elder back here, he don't even need to do that anymore. He comes back there every service and apologizes. He said, I'm so sorry I can't get in that altar with you. I said, Elder, you have done it. You're preaching with me from back there. I am not worried about that at one little bit. For him, he's done time. He's been beat up from the floor up. You understand? So that I don't even think about that. Thank God for elders like that. But I'm talking to the rest of us that are my age now. I still think I'm a young man. I hope to God I'm a young man. Hallelujah. And I am young. That's what I'm looking at. I think my birth certificate's wrong. And I'm going to try to get somebody. I'm going to get another one. I got some buddies that can. I have some ex-friends that. Hallelujah. My name might not even be Gordon Poe next Sunday. Hallelujah. And but the rest of us, I preached last week, how hard is it to clap your hands? It's just not that hard. I mean, let me give you an example. A girl named Barbie right there in the Pearland area had no arms, none, zero. Both of them were electrocuted when she touched the box. Electrical box, blew it, the fuse, it was a high line wire box. They had to amputate both arms. I'm in revival, and little Barbie, she was about 20 years old in them days, and I could tell she wanted to be in service. She had amen, but she couldn't shout. She couldn't speak. She didn't have nothing to balance. And don't tell me, Barbie wants to praise God more than her body says she can. And so I got a group of young ladies, and I told them, let's make a circle. Now, they were in revival with me for a long time. They just knew anything can happen. So they got up, and I said, Barbie, I want you to get up, and when you walk into that circle, there's going to be an angel of the Lord, and he's going to guide you. You're not going to fall. You're not going to fall, but the Lord's going to allow you to go to places spiritually. And this young lady steps up, and she walks up with no arms, and probably 30, 40 minutes, all she did was spin, speak in tongues. I'm telling you, the glory of God hit that group of young ladies, and Barbie stepped into the promise that she'd been told that fruit was so good. See, there's people that say, that ain't no good. And there's people like me go, you must not have tasted it. Because what I tasted was awesome. Now, I've tasted Melarine, and I've tasted whatever the name of that other stuff is. And if that's what you're eating, I'm agreeing with you 100%. That's trash. No good. In other words, if you've got to have spinning lights in your church to emulate the glory or simulate the glory, I agree with you, that's trash. That's trash. If you've got to have a smoke machine to set an atmosphere of the Shekinah, you know, like the upper room and all that stuff, I agree with you. That's trash. You're trying to fabricate something that's not real so the people on the pew will think of themselves as grasshopper and you're the leader. I understand that. I understand. It's because there's no spirit there. Because if there was a spirit there that was God's spirit, then the people would be saying,
Turn on the lights. I need to see what's happened to that lady over in the wheelchair. Turn on the lights. I need to see. In fact, turn them on because I got to go help so-and-so get delivered. Turn on the lights because I got to go help such-and-such get a healing. I got to... Right here in this church, all I'm saying is we need everybody from the elder all the way down in one mind and one accord, because we can't let the young people decide to go someplace else because they can't see it happening. Somebody scream amen. You can be seated. Let me now turn it to the young people. Young people, there ain't no reason for y'all to be intimidated. I've seen some strange things in my life. I've seen a cheerleader that probably weighed 200 pounds or more. And that thing she had on, I don't know who made that. It took them a while. A lot of material. But you know what? When she got out there on that football field, I was staring at her because it's like, what is that? And then she walked out there on that football field and lined up. I was like, I ain't going to throw her around. You know what I mean? They throw them up and down and around. And my buddy, this is back years ago, my buddy said, shut up, man. We're going to get in a fight. I said, well, what? Am I hallucinating or is that? He said, shut up. All right. You know what? That girl did not come out there like this. She marched out there, that big self come on out there like that. And when they started throwing them legs up, now her leg couldn't go about this high, but it went that high. In other words, she wasn't intimidated. She had tried out for that. And somebody that chose her didn't shoot. Oh, God help me. Didn't choose her because of her physique and her looks. They chose her because of her desire. They said, hey, if she's willing enough to get in that and try to... Young people, don't worry about what you look like. Don't worry about anything else. It's got to be in you. You got to say, honey, I'll lay hands on the sick. I'll pray for the elders. I'll help everybody because this church needs the young people too. Somebody give God some praise. Praise your name. You can be seated for a minute. I'm hurrying. Listen, young people, y'all don't walk around intimidated. You're young. Hey, you're going to make mistakes. So what? What does that mean? It means you're trying. People that don't make mistakes, they're dying. You know what I'm saying? Now, that sounded kind of gross, but whatever. It's like, well, I don't want to do that because I don't know if the Lord would want me to look at all my mess. He didn't kick Judas out. Judas left. Judas, I'm going to get a hold of that one for a minute. Judas had problems while he was following. And Jesus didn't say, well, Judy, another myth. Let me tell y'all some myths. Jesus didn't have no money. That's stupid. Where'd y'all get that? If he didn't have no money, how come he had a treasurer? Dude had it on his pocket. He told him how much was in there. Lord, we don't have enough money to feed 5,000 men. In other words, we got a lot, but not that much. Oh, Lord, I just kicked something down, didn't I? It's like, well, the Lord didn't have no place to lay his head. It's because he wasn't married. Huh? Y'all got to quit thinking. I call it stinking thinking. It preaches good, but it ain't real. He didn't have no place to lay his head. Well, he wasn't married. If he'd been married, he'd have had a home. I mean, when I was single, I you know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be. I lay my. We better go on. Preach a little bit different. He didn't have no money. Then why did he have a treasurer that was part of the group? How did they buy food every day? Let me tell y'all how. It's because Zebedee's wife paid Jesus to be the prophet. Oh, Lord.
Y'all need to study. That's why when it came time for him to die, I mean, came time for him to be in his kingdom, she didn't give him so much money, she asked for both her boys to sit on right. She thought she done paid her way for her boys. Oh, Lord, that'll preach, Pastor. You can't give enough money unless you want to go to the cross. So, young people, I better get off that. I get to traveling down them roads that Pentecost has been on so long, a frog won't go down there. There's so many ruts in it, afraid to get killed. Young people, we need y'all. And here's the thing. We need y'all to quit being intimidated and start being convinced. When I was 16 years old, is anybody in this group 16? Right there? I was already in jail bootlegging whiskey. 16, I was convinced. I was making money. I wasn't going to push no lawnmower no more. You hear me? Push that lawnmower 50 cents. You can spell that Boone's Farm apple wine for 99 cents. A dollar. Just sell 12 of them. Look how much money you had. I was convinced, huh? In other words, my brain said, I can do this or I can do that. Now, what I was doing was wrong. I understand. I'm not telling y'all to go out and be Boone's Farm apple wine. Y'all don't even know what that is. Some of you older folks do. I know. I can smell your breath. But you got to be convinced. Like, you know what? Watch this. I don't know exactly what I got, but I'm practicing. Well, that got quiet. Well, I don't know that we're supposed to practice. Then how do you learn? I mean, y'all practiced how to color, and you did it wrong. Until finally the lady goes, no, inside the line, please. Y'all were just doing, give me my red. Coloring a tree. Give me my red. Lady goes, no, the trees are green. Give me my green. And coloring the line. You practiced. How you do things spiritual. You practice. When the pastor says we need to pray for somebody, you get your hide up and say, point, where do I need to go? If I need to pray for an elder, I'm going to go over and pray for an elder. Elders, sometimes you just got to get up and go pray for a young person. Sometimes you got to let them know, honey, I'm on your side. I might have done this a long time, but if I can help you learn how to do it, I'm going to help you learn how to do it, because we need people not wandering around a mountain, but we need people going in and taking over what is ours, because ours is a promise from God. Somebody holler amen. You can be seated for just, let me go. I wrote this message. I can't do that laptop stuff or whatever that is. iPad thing, I'm afraid I'll get hacked. I stay hacked already. We got the same 15 people praying for the body. That's the reason nobody can hit a home run. You got to have everybody batting. Even that right fielder's got to bat. Everybody says the right fielder is the weakest player. That's stupid, too. The right fielder is the strongest player. Let me tell you why. Because anything is hit by a right-handed batter, to right field is spinning to the right, which means the ball is moving. Anything that's hit to the left field is hit straight, and so it's not moving. Anything that's hit to the right, it's spinning off the bat. So the right fielder has to look at what's being hit and anticipate where it's going to be. In other words, it's not where I am, it's where I'm going to be. And so I'm not practicing to stand still. I'm practicing to move with an object. I want us all to understand, in a revival like this, it's not about sitting still and standing in our place. It's about moving to that object that needs that revival prayer, that needs somebody to lay hands. And when you lay hands on somebody, you got to expect something great and magnificent to happen. When you step into that arena, you need to step in there with faith. Don't worry about what you've been through. Don't worry about where you've been. Don't worry about where you've been called.
called out, you just say, by the grace of God, I'm going to lay hands on them and God's going to heal them. By the grace of God, I might be learning, but bless God, I'm learning because I want to operate in the Holy Ghost and I want to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost because I want to be involved in a revival church led by revival preachers. Somebody say amen.
I'm closing. I've said that 3 times. Listen to me. People that don't want a revival pastor, you probably need to find another building. I love you. But I ain't going to wander. I'm just not. I'm not going to wander. I know it sounds crude and rough, but I'm just not. I love you. But how can I believe that I'm not able to take over the promise when that was the first thing said? That was the word. The word said, this is your land. He never even told anybody, this is free. He said, this is yours. That was first. Then the fruit. Now, how can you ask me to believe that the word said it's happening, and then the proof come that it's happened, and then you tell me I'm the wrong person? I'm the one who was called out of Egypt. I'm the one that went through the Red Sea. Now you're telling me it was supposed to have been some other group? Can I close with this? If God said this church is going to have revival and going to have a spiritual awakening, then that means you, if you decide not to wander, it means you. When pastor says, I need somebody to pray for that person right there, it's an attack. It's like, boom, go get them. If somebody says, back over here, somebody's sick, go pray, go get them. Don't say, somebody else is going to do it. You say, I'm going to do it. Why? Because I'm learning. I know I'm learning. I'm learning, and I don't mind learning. Look at your neighbor and say, amen.